Memberships are a fantastic digital product. And this time of year, you're probably going to be hearing a lot about memberships from a lot of people in this online creation and digital product space, because there is a big membership launch going of a course that teaches you how to sell memberships. And because of that, and the many, many affiliates that are associated about with that launch, you will probably hear memberships coming from everywhere. Now, I have run a membership for 5 years. I did another video earlier in this series about the reasons why I decided to stop running that membership. So if you're curious, please do go and take a listen. But today I want to kind of distill all the things that I have learned over the last 5 years, both running that membership and helping other membership owners, all the way from people who are just at the very beginning of thinking about it through to people who are making multi-million dollars a year. I've got a lot of knowledge in this little brain, so I am going to be sharing it with you today. So if you are thinking, oh, membership sounds pretty cool, that is something that I want to bring into my business, I'm going to basically give you a giant pros and cons list and a whole lot of things to think about when you are structuring a membership. I believe that memberships are a fantastic product for sustainability as it creates recurring revenue. And even though I have shut down my previous membership, that doesn't mean I am opposed to running a membership again. In fact, I will be creating technically a membership offer very soon, but they can be done in so many different ways. So I'm going to be sharing with you today. This is what I would do if I wanted to start a membership. So firstly, one of the main reasons that people start a membership, and one of the main reasons why I think a membership is an absolutely fantastic business model for any online course creator, is from purely the revenue perspective. When you're in the online course space, if you're just selling digital products, revenue prediction can be really challenging. It's one of the things that makes it hard, especially when relying on launch models, because if you are trying to generate all of your revenue or 90% of your revenue in just two short windows of time per year, if you're doing that traditional big launch format, if something goes wrong, that is going to put potentially your business at risk. And sometimes there are things outside of your control that can go wrong. So having that core recurring revenue is so key to life-proofing your business, to ensuring that you know with a reasonable level of predictability how much revenue is going to be coming in. It's one of the reasons why so many businesses have moved to subscription models. I mean, think about it. How many subscriptions do you have right now? How many things are coming out of your account every month or every year? I mean, anything from Costco memberships to Netflix to maybe programs that you are part of. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's even memberships and subscriptions, things like Amazon. Maybe you are having monthly deliveries of certain things or weekly deliveries, gym memberships. The subscription model is rampant, you know, even to the point where I think it was BMW that introduced additional features that would only be available in their cars, like heated seats, if you signed up to the subscription for that premium service. So they're everywhere. Subscriptions are everywhere. There is a reason why businesses, big and small, are wanting to incorporate some kind of subscription service. And essentially, that is what a membership is. A membership is, at its core, a subscription revenue model, something that doesn't have a start and end point. It is something that people will stay in for as long as they feel it is useful and as long as they need it. So maybe that is a short term, maybe that is something over the long term. I'm sure if you are creating some kind of membership or subscription product, you are wanting people to stay there, you know, indefinitely, perhaps. So that, at its core, is what a membership is. And because of that, it means there is an incredible amount of variety in things that you can do as a digital creator to earn money from a membership product. And that can sometimes be confusing as well, because you might see memberships and have this sort of perception of what that is in your head. And you might think, oh, I've got to do it that way because I see other people with memberships and that's what they're doing. But the thing is you can create something that is going to suit A, your life, B, your business, see your audience and make it that thing that is going to work for all of that. It doesn't need to follow someone else's way of doing it. However, there are some traps to be aware of, and I'm going to go into detail with a little bit of that today. So firstly, we're going to start with what I think is the most important thing, and that is clarifying the purpose of your membership, because you can have different types of memberships. Some digital creators even have multiple memberships doing different, essentially, jobs in their business. Is this something that you want to be your main signature program? Is this the thing that you want to generate the majority of the revenue for your business? Are you like, I'm all in on this membership. This is a thing where it's going to be bringing in the money. I'm going to be giving it the most majority of my attention. This is my core product. If that is the case, you are going to want to think about it very differently in terms of pricing. And I'm going to be talking about pricing in a sec, because it has a very different job than if that membership is something where you have created it, maybe at a lower ticket price point, to nurture people in your world, to essentially have kind of a paid Facebook group where you are there to support people and they're paying a little bit of money to access you, but that's not your core revenue driver. That could be like a front-end membership where people are coming in to learn from you. You get them to, you know, they get to have a little bit of an experience of what it's like to work with you at a low price. And, you know, maybe it can even, you know, the price isn't even necessarily the most important factor. It's like, is this the main thing that you're doing, or is this something that you're doing in order to funnel people into a higher ticket product? For my membership, when I was running it, it wasn't intended to be that way when I started it, but that's how it ended up working out. This membership, I kept it at a low price because it was a fantastic way to introduce people to my teaching style, to my coaching. They would come to Q&A calls, and almost all of my higher ticket clients came from that membership. That was the way that I was able to invite people into my world and share a little bit of what it was like to work with me. So they have different jobs within your membership, within your business. And so deciding where this is going to fit in your business, I think, is really important. Is this something where you don't want people to come into the membership unless they've already done some of your teaching? Sometimes people will have memberships where it's basically ongoing support after people have finished a course. And you don't want people in the membership that haven't gone through that course content first, because maybe they're going to be asking questions that were in that course. And the course can teach them the core skills that they need, but it's something that needs to be perpetually implemented, and people will need perpetual support. And often you can find when you run a course, your students are going to be asking for it. When maybe that cohort finishes, they could be coming to you going, okay, like I've done that, but you know, what's next? I still want to keep working with you. I still need ongoing support. And that's a way something can grow out of that. So again, maybe that is not your main offer, but maybe that is just a fantastic way that you want to support students who have already worked with you. So deciding that first before worrying about anything else is really, really important, because you get to determine what this membership means to you and where it fits into your business. You don't need to follow someone else's model just because you have been taught that. But in terms of pricing, this is where determining first where it's going to sit is then going to help you evaluate your pricing and whether that is going to make sense. If you want your membership to be your core product of your business, this is the thing you're going to put your time and energy and attention into, and it is going to generate the majority of your income, pricing needs to be a much more careful consideration than if it is something where it has another purpose. And you may look at it almost like a loss leader, like as long as you're covering your costs and maybe making a little bit, you'll be happy. Compared to, this has to cover, you know, your income, your personal income or wages, depending on your company structure, any staff that you have, your costs, etc., then your pricing is going to need to be looked at more closely. Now, it may be a case that if that is what you are doing, you want to charge a higher price. And again, you've got to make sure that it makes sense for your business, that the pricing is going to work for your customers and the outcome that you are promising them as being part of the membership. But often what I'll see is people will have lower ticket memberships, like under $50 a month, but you don't yet have the audience to support that and you don't have plans to grow your audience substantially, lower ticket memberships need volume. Higher ticket memberships, you can run them with very limited numbers if the price point is right, and it will still make sense. Low ticket memberships, if you want this to be your main core offer, then you may need to get hundreds, if not thousands, of people into your membership. And you might go, oh, well, I've got 2,000 people on my email list. Like, if 1,000 of them signed up, I'd be great. The amount of times I've heard some variation of that phrase on a coaching call is probably almost a little frightening, because it's just not the reality. You might have people on your email list. That doesn't mean they're going to want to join your membership, even if it is only $7 or $9 a month. Those low ticket memberships work really well when volume is the key. You've got a big list. You've got a way of getting yourself in front of other people's audiences, or a way of growing your audience, you know, very quickly. Most people do that through ads, but when you're running a $9 membership, it may not make sense to run it through ads, because by the time you factor in the cost of an ad to, you know, the cost of a sign up from an ad, maybe it's going to cost you, say, I don't know, $30 per person that comes into your membership. If you're only charging $7 a month, then that means they've got to be a member for more than 4.5 months before you will even break even. And often that is not the case. I'll talk about churn in a sec. Churn is how long someone stays in your membership. So it's really important to consider these financials before you start, because often people realize the reality of the situation, you know, 6 months in, and find that they are running a membership that doesn't make financial sense. They're putting a lot of effort into it and maybe only making a few thousand dollars a month, which is just not enough to be sustainable as this core product of your business. So definitely give some consideration into what role this membership is going to play, how much of the revenue is going to be responsible for, you know, your business's revenue, what you're doing alongside it, and the size of your audience. There is definitely benefit, you know, in starting up a membership from scratch. There is a strong push from Stu McLaren, who runs the membership experience, I think it's called. It was Tribe when I went through it. That's how I started my membership. I went through that program in 2020 and did that founding members launch. And I'm really glad that I did. However, from a financial perspective, the membership never made sense. It made sense for a lot of other reasons, which I was okay with. But financially, at the price point that I set it and with the audience size that I had, it was going to be a really hard push to ever make that my signature program. And I went through varying points in time where, you know, I had this idea of turning it into a signature program, but, you know, it wasn't going to make sense for audience size. If, you know, it turned into a much, much higher ticket program, perhaps. And, you know, I'll talk about options around that in a sec. But just do bear in mind, low ticket needs big audience. It needs to be based on volume. You can certainly consider memberships in another way as well. I'll just talk about this really briefly, but I have seen this used successfully in a few places where the membership itself doesn't actually deliver anything. The membership itself unlocks discounts. So maybe if someone is a member, you know, you might decide to have a community or something alongside that. But the membership could be that it means someone will pay a certain membership fee, and then they will be able to get, say, 20% off your other products and services. So it doesn't always have to be this, you know, this big high ticket thing that's all about digital products. Sometimes you can keep it simple. I mean, that's pretty much how Costco works, like pay your annual membership and then you'll be able to unlock Costco's pricing, and you can't shop if you don't have the membership. So just wanted to add that in there as well, because there is definitely options that are outside of the straight up size of the membership and, you know, and delivering certain things. Now, with these kind of different levels of membership options, I just want to put some things out there in terms of the structure of your membership, because there is this, you know, feeling or thought that a membership needs to involve some kind of content that's either available there already, or some content that you are delivering monthly, and some sort of access to you and or a community. That tends to be the common structure, but it doesn't always have to be like that. I have seen a few memberships that have launched in the last 12 months where it's basically a course plus access to support is the membership. So instead of buying the course first and then having the membership on the end, it's kind of bundled up in together. So you're buying access to all the materials and information that you need to be able to learn. And then the membership is supporting you for, say, the next 12 months as you actually implement and go through that work and bringing people together and having coaching and co-working sessions and other things to work through the material. So it's kind of making it a little bit like a college course. It's kind of an extended cohort in a way. But I have seen that becoming more popular. So that's an option. It may be that there is some kind of course and the actual membership is the support and sort of ongoing delivery of that. I've seen a lot of really successful memberships where they are template based. One of my favorite is a low ticket membership from Liz Wilcox. She has an email marketing membership where she sends out a template every week and you get access to all of the templates she's created over the last few years. She will often give bonuses like Q&A sessions, maybe discounts off other things that she is offering as well. But at its core, she is delivering out a template. You will get access to that and you get ideas. So it can be really, really simple. It doesn't need to be these super extravagant memberships with lots of things and 14 deliverables every month and, you know, 3 co-working sessions and 2 Q&A sessions and coaching and this and that and all of the things. Sometimes simple is actually delightfully better. In terms of payments, so very, very commonly it is thought that memberships are monthly. It's a very common way for subscriptions to go. And I think it has come off that Netflix style, you know, you pay per month because Netflix, I think the advent of Netflix has been one of the things where people are like, wow, they can get billions of people to sign up, maybe not billions, but, you know, like a lot of people globally to sign up every month. And the monthly came out of, you know, most people in the US get paid monthly. So it made sense to line it up with, you know, those paydays essentially. And so I think from that, the monthly type of payment has become the sort of standard or accepted. And most memberships are going to offer a monthly payment option and perhaps an annual, but you absolutely don't need to do it like that if you don't want to. One of the big fears that people have around starting a membership is that, what if I start it and, you know, someone pays for a month and they take everything and then, you know, they quit? That potentially is going to happen if you start it monthly. Like this, I'm not going to tell you that it's not. I'm sure that that has happened to me and every other membership owner, but it will happen a lot less than you think. The majority of your members are not going to do that. But if you want to completely eliminate the potential of that, you could just charge annually. I'm in 2 separate memberships that charge annually. Liz's email marketing membership, which is $108 a year. Very, very sensible to do that. She's got a really clever structure because her monthly is $9 a month. But if you join for $108 a year, which is 9 by 12, you get access to a whole lot of other things and bonuses. And it just, she makes it make sense. So the majority of her members are paying annually. The reason that is so clever is that then you don't have the issue of cancellations, people's payments not going through. Like monthly small ticket charges can come with a lot of admin headache and chasing up and following up and all those kinds of things. It also can potentially mean that your churn is higher, that people will join for a few months and then drop off as opposed to being in there for a year. But if you think that it's only low ticket ones that can charge that, you are wrong. I'm in another membership that is $2,000 a year and the doors are full to that membership because it's very popular. It's, you know, a lot of people are very considered about going in there. The curator of that membership is very strong on making sure the right type of person. So you have to go through an interview process in order to get in there. So the people in there are surrounded by peers, not sort of people spread across multiple different levels so that the questions and conversations that are happening are going to be really relevant. He's never offered monthly and has said he never will. And, you know, I just wanted to mention that as it is a way, you know, that you can eliminate some of that risk that you might feel with having this sort of open book to everything that you might have. It is also, you know, from another perspective of it, I've always been happy to have monthly membership and to have people see everything because for the majority of situations, it's not always the content that's what people come for when they join a membership. Most people will buy a course if they just want to learn how to do it. People will come into a membership because they want to be surrounded by a group of other people who are doing it. They want to make connections. They want to meet people potentially. So if you're worried about it being, oh, someone's going to come and steal all of my content, please don't. Think about it with Netflix. You could join Netflix for a month and download, you know, a ton of stuff from Netflix, but do you? Or would you just prefer the convenience of knowing it's there when you want it and need it? You know, the same with things like Spotify. Like, you have access to all the music that you could want pretty much on hand. And what you're paying for is the convenience of your playlist being in there, of knowing when things are, that when you feel like listening to a particular song, it's there and you don't have to go searching through downloads and things like that. Sometimes it could just be a case that people will do it for financial reasons. Maybe they can't afford to join and will try and cram everything in. But like I said earlier, I think you'll find that is much rarer than the potential risk. And sometimes I take it that if that's what someone needs, like if they need to just come in there and, you know, get as much out of it as they can, then, you know, maybe that's where they're at right now. And if they get value from it, potentially they will come back or buy a different offer. And if they don't, I'm okay with that too. So, you know, you can decide where you sit on the, you know, should I charge monthly, annually, you know, quarterly is also an option. You could just take monthly off the table altogether and only have a quarterly and annual option, which again, eliminates some of the risk. But yeah, I have seen people that have tried, you know, and myself, I've tried a heap of different pricing. The thing to remember is that any pricing that you set, any method, it can all be changed. There is nothing that is set in stone, and feel free not to stress about getting the right price and working out the exact perfect way to do it, because it is going to be something that will be in flux and fluid, and you'll probably keep changing it. I think over the 5 years that I ran the Unicorn Heroes Kajabi support membership, I think it was we got up to 32 different offers, which is different payment structures from trialing things like free trials, like paid trials, different lengths of paid trials, annual with a bonus, quarterly. There was a lifetime one in there at some point. You know, there's lots of different ways that you can price and change things. So don't feel that that is the thing that you need to get locked into forever. You can always change. Speaking of that, though, if you do change, this is another thing to consider, is starting lower and then increasing your prices, especially for the first people that come in, and then keeping the prices for the people that came in the beginning and helped you build it in the beginning. The terminology for that is that the prices are grandfathered in, but it's basically instead of doing what a lot of companies are doing, which is incredibly frustrating, and changing the prices for everyone across the board, is often I'll find that membership creators will reward the people that came in early with keeping their early bird, like founding member prices. Or if you start at a certain point and then you decide to put it up, keeping the people who were at that point at that price and only increasing for new members. The value in that is absolutely phenomenal, because if your price changes substantially and someone got in at the lower price, they are going to be so much more likely to stay in and stay loyal. One of the biggest surprises to me with running the membership for 5 years is that I still have people paying for my membership 5 years after I started it that joined right back in 2020, April 2020, with that founding member launch, because they got a fantastic founding member price and they're like, I'm going to keep doing this. And many of those members, you know, stayed well beyond, you know, a year, 2 years. And there were some that were still there even at the end. So that, you know, benefit of having that lower price is potentially going to reward you, and people having going, well, I'm not going to leave this now. Like, now we've got all these extra things and I'm still paying that price. So again, pricing is one of those things that you can play around with and you can choose what you want. I am on the side of keeping the pricing at the price that someone signed up for. Not to say you can't do that, but you may find that you get a lot of churn if you put the price up really high, and a lot of negativity in the community from the current members. So consider that with what you are doing. It may be that if you want to change things substantially and have quite a big price rise, that actually you need to, you know, reevaluate and launch a new product that is positioned differently, has different things, et cetera, rather than just raising the price of what you are doing. All right. So I want to talk about the thing that, I'm not going to say it pisses me off the most, but the biggest myth that I hear perpetuated, and it is frustrating because I think it sets you up with false expectations. When I first started my membership back in 2020, and I've heard this from a lot of people since, people who have run their membership for a while might come on and talk about their membership and brag about how it only takes them a few hours a month to run. But they're making all this money, like, oh, I'm making $30,000 a month and I'm only spending 3 hours, you know, a month to do it and things like that. And I think that that can set you up for some unrealistic expectations, especially in the beginning. Now, I'm not here to say that those people are lying. I'm sure that there are people who are able to run their membership now at the stage of the business that they're at with a limited period of time. But if you are newer in this space, if you've only been in the online course space for a year or two, if you are just beginning right at the ground floor, that is completely unrealistic because you are learning everything else that comes along with running a membership. Not only are you learning how to, you know, deliver a membership and run the membership and the tech provided, you know, the tech that you need to do all of that, you're learning how to market, how to launch, how to do email marketing, how to create landing pages, and all of the very nuanced things that go alongside that. And you will very likely find that you will spend significantly more than a few hours a month on your membership. You know, in the beginning, it might even feel like it's a full-time job just running the membership because you've got to learn all of these things. Like, there's potentially things that I've talked about today that are jargon and you don't even know what it is. Like, if I'm talking about things like retention rates and churn, you might be like, yeah, I don't know what that is. Those are things that you have to learn. Like, you have to learn the best way to connect with your members, like what you're going to do. You know, you need to actually deliver the things that you're saying that you are going to deliver. You need to show up for them if that is part of your membership offerings. And you need to be marketing your membership. Now, that word that I used, churn, is a really, really important one, because if you are not marketing your membership, and you are not bringing new members in, you can find that the numbers in your membership can go backwards. And when you first start the membership, because you're learning how to even have a membership and you're learning how to do things in the software and, you know, be there and, you know, produce the content and all of those things that go along with it, you may not be noticing, but, you know, members may start dropping off. It is completely normal for your churn rate to be between 3 to 6 months. And by that, I mean how long people are going to stay in your membership if they are paying for it monthly. So if you have got people that have come in, they're paying monthly, at a certain point, a certain percentage of them are going to stop paying and leave the membership. It is not you doing anything wrong. That is completely normal. And it's just one of the things that happens with memberships. But that means that you need to be getting new members into your membership. And that's where the marketing comes into it. And it may be that in your first year or two, you're actually spending more time on marketing to get people in, because you need to be growing your membership if you want to be growing your revenue. And obviously, this depends on how many people that you have in and your revenue goals and where this membership fits in your business and all of those kinds of things. But if you are only spending a few hours delivering to your members and maybe showing up in the community, answering a few questions, possible, absolutely possible, but you still have to do all of the other work on top of that, because that doesn't happen passively. You certainly can set up evergreen sales systems in order to be bringing members in, and you can be doing things that will, you know, ultimately lead to bringing members in, creating content that leads into a funnel. Those kind of things need to be produced. They need to have time spent on them. If you're going to be running Facebook ads, you need to actually run the ads, make sure that the funnel associated with the ad is working, tweak, revise, you know, factor that price of the ads into the price of your membership, all of those things. All of that stuff takes time. The nurturing, the content that you're creating, it all takes time. So whilst, yes, there is a possibility that once you are, you know, a business person who has run a membership for a while, you feel confident and comfortable that you know what you're doing, you've got things, you know, down to a level where it's repeatable and easy, and you've got, you know, SOPs, maybe you've got someone to help you, which will help take some of the time off your plate. Maybe then it's a possible that you can spend less time. Maybe if you've spent 6 months building a really fantastic evergreen funnel that continually funnels people into your world, maybe then you will be able to work less hours. But I think in the beginning, while you're learning business, you're learning software, you're learning tech, you're learning how to be a really awesome membership leader, those things take time. So please be realistic with what you can expect there. The other thing as well with that retention and churn, so retention is how to keep members in your membership. Like, that's what I mean by learning how to be a membership leader, like making sure that you are there for your members, you have got a really good onboarding system, you are doing regular check-ins, and, you know, making sure that members feel like they're getting the value out of their membership. Because often people won't leave because there's not enough content, or there's not, you know, enough for them. It's that they're just not feeling like they're getting value. And sometimes that can just be because you're not reminding them and spelling out the value that's in their membership, reminding them of what they have access to. Because people could go into a membership, and if there's a lot in there, they might be like, oh, this is a lot, I'll come back to it, and then just not. And if there's nothing happening apart from the fact that the payment keeps coming out of their account each month, they may not stay in that membership because they're not seeing how paying every month for something is helping them. But, you know, that's part of you know, being that membership owner and leader, is doing that work to remind people of how this is helping them and the value. It could be setting up success paths. Like, some of this stuff could be automated, that you are, you know, finding ways to direct people through the content that is the most helpful. I'm going to be doing a full step-by-step tutorial in Kajabi of setting up memberships tomorrow, but there's lots of things that you could do in there around gamification, around automations that you can be, you know, rewarding people when they finish certain aspects, and, you know, making sure that they feel included and part of it. And that can be helpful as well. I have just purchased a tool from Dharmaju. I will put that into the show notes description. It's going to be available next week, and I'm very excited. It's a Airtable tool to help you track all of these statistics and analytics, and help you have a better handle on what's going on in your membership and how long people are staying, like, to work out that retention rate, and to keep track of your members, the questions that they're asking, etc. So she has nearly finished that. I bought it on a pre-order, and I'm very excited to dive into it. So I will put the link to that in the description, because I haven't seen any kind of tool out there like that. Also, in terms of retention and churn, I really enjoyed being part of the Membership Geeks membership. And they have loads of resources to help you with all aspects of running a membership, not just starting the membership and launching it, but actually that ongoing, like how you can improve it and make it better, and, you know, how you can show up for your members, and loads of different stuff. So those are two fantastic resources. I will include them, because that can be really, really helpful to make sure that you have got great onboarding set up, that you have got that path to show people how to, you know, consume content that best suits them and where they are at. Because if your members feel like it's valuable, they're more likely to stay in. Something also to consider is that you may find, depending on how you are launching your membership, that if you have a launch that has huge amounts of FOMO and scarcity types of tactics, like get in now, like, you know, this is like real sort of deadline driven, this is your last chance kind of language, that real, strongly encouraging in the best possible way, you may find that your churn is higher. Because again, if someone is, you know, making that decision out of a place of fear and FOMO, not out of a place of, hey, this is really going to help me in my business, that scarcity always comes with a higher percentage of people. In courses, it can lead to refunds, but in memberships, it can simply lead to people dropping off. So, you know, if you've run that kind of campaign, it's natural that you are going to have a higher drop off of members in the first few months than if you had a campaign that is less about the FOMO factor and the timeline, you know, the countdown timer and all of those kind of pressure tactics, especially if it's something that's a bit more evergreen and allows time for consideration, people will likely stay in longer. But when you've got the scarcity, you then have to prove the value. So if someone's, you know, buying out of fear and then they go in there and they're like, I don't know, it seemed better in the sales page. Like, you know, this sounded like it was going to be cooler, and they get in there and they find that it doesn't meet their expectations. Then again, you are going to have a higher percentage of people drop off, which means you've either got to do things to improve that member experience to keep them in there longer and make sure that your sales messaging is matching what their expectations are. Or you're going to have to be launching more frequently, because as people drop off, they need to be replaced, or your income is going to drop off with it. All right. So one thing that I would suggest as well is when you first get started with the membership, and this is one of the things that I'm the most guilty of and probably led in some way to my decision to stop running the membership, is the danger of over-delivering as a membership owner. When you are in the beginning phases of running a membership, it is awesome. You will have so many people, and you'll be on a high. There'll be people in you where you'll be like, oh my God, I'm so glad I launched a membership. This is amazing. And you may be tempted to put all these things in because these people have come in, they've paid you money. You want to keep them happy. And that is very hard to sustain in the long run. You might be able to sustain that for the first month or two. You might be like, I'm going to go into my membership every day and I'm going to answer every single question and I'm going to do all these things and we're going to have a weekly this and a, you know, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. You have to consider, are you going to still be able to do that in many months or potentially even years time? You've got to be able to factor in times for breaks for yourself. So actually putting that potentially even on your sales page. Tina Tower, who's here in Australia, she has a membership and she literally says, we don't do anything in December. She's, you know, sets that expectation up front. And I think that, you know, you being able to do that, or having a contingency plan, having someone who is able to come in and look after the membership or be you when you're not there, maybe, you know, do your Q&A calls for you. There's things that you will need to be able to set up, but I would suggest to start with less rather than more, because when you start with more, more has to stay. When you start with less, you can surprise and delight. You could add something in that's unexpected and that can, you know, have your members being like, oh wow, that's really cool. But also when you surprise and delight, you're not setting the expectation that that's going to be there all the time. It can just be like, hey, we're going to have a little bonus this month. So go in with what could you deliver, like if you had to keep doing this for, say, the next 3 years. Don't be like, what could I deliver right now in the beginning and get caught up in all that excitement. And think about things like when you are adding community, that adds an incredible amount of value. Like I feel that memberships where they have that part of community are fantastic. Meeting other people in this very isolated space is so, so important to build relationships. But if you're offering the community, you've got to hold that space. And if you're not holding that space, you need to pay someone to hold that space for you, because communities need a leader. They need someone to guide, to encourage conversations, to be there for hosting events, etc. So again, that comes into that, like, what are you able to deliver? What is your capacity? And make sure that you are building, you know, systems that match your actual time and energy. You might be like, No, it'll be fine. I could do it because I'm going to get a VA to do this, this, and this. Does your budget and, you know, the amount that you're charging for the membership support that? Because if it doesn't, and if you start getting churn and people start falling off and all of a sudden you don't have the budget for that person to help you, that can start getting, you know, scary and then lead you to do things based on like, oh, I've got to, you know, make money to pay for that person, maybe do an extra launch you didn't want to do, etc. So try to build those plans and systems around what is available to you now and add things in as that, you know, as it grows down the track potentially. All right, Erica's got a question. What about doing an annual membership and then say 6 months from now you don't want to do it anymore? Do you refund people, stick it out, or something else? Okay, so I will talk to that because I had a newsletter, essentially membership. It was a 12-month subscription. And when I went into burnout, I was almost 3 months into doing that. And so what I decided to do, and this will depend on how long it is that you want to run that for, I did three things. Originally, I was just going to refund everyone because I felt bad because it was my fault, not their fault, that I wasn't able to deliver. But what I decided to do is gave people three options. Option one was you can have a full refund. Even though I had already delivered part of it, I wanted to have that as an option for people who felt like, you know, for whatever reason, they were annoyed that they decided to spend that money. So option two was that people could use the money that they had spent and as a credit for something else that I offered. And a surprising number of people took that option. Option three was that you could have a credit to spend on anything that I created or any services in the next 12 months. Now, only a third of people took the refund option. I just assumed it would be everyone. Everyone would be like, yeah, give me my money back. Some people actually were like, you know what? No, you've actually delivered that much value already, and I want you to keep the money. Some people got the credit option and then never decided to use it. I did leave all the content up, however, for everyone. So I had created it and I left that up until the end of the 12-month period. So that's how I handled it. It could be something that if you want to, it takes me to my last and, you know, potential point. If you're wanting to start a membership and you don't know if it's something that you are going to be able to continue for a long period of time, if you are, you know, dead keen, but you're like, oh, today I feel good, but what if I don't, you know, what if something happens in 6 months, you know, all the things that can come up. You could try running a kind of pop-up membership and actually say, hey, you know, I've got this great new idea, right? I want to run this thing. I'm going to run it for founding members for 3 months or 6 months, for example. And if you join, you will get, you know, a discounted price to be able to be one of the core first members of this. We're going to, you know, have a really great time creating it together. You can give me your feedback. It is the time that you'll be able to get the most access to me because you were getting in the beginning. And you will get first dibs if I decide to continue this and to continue running the membership. So that can be a way where you can dip your toes in the membership water without having to commit to it forever. So it doesn't always need to be something where you're like, oh, I've got to keep running it, and then you've got to see it through. I have done another program in the past. It was a 12-month program that people paid for upfront for 12 months. And when I decided to stop running it, I decided that I would stop taking new members and I would keep delivering until the end of the 12 months. It was a little bit challenging in the last few months. It's hard to keep delivering something when you got paid for it a year ago. But that was my decision with that program. So potentially, you know, that is an option. You can just stop taking new members and you can, you know, let people know that it is going to be continuing until a particular time in future. So yeah, hopefully that will give you some ideas. But definitely make sure that if you are going to start a membership, a subscription, an ongoing thing, it's because you have the capacity to do it. You don't have to start a membership. Like, there are lots of reasons why it's really good, but it is still optional. It's still something that you can choose to do and choose not to do. And it can be something that you do at a really small scale as well. The new, essentially, membership program that I'm going to be launching is coaching based. And I am only have the capacity for 3 to 5 people at most at once that I will be able to work with if I am able to give you the time and attention that I want. So I'm not aiming to get 100 people in that. If I had 3, that would be amazing. And, you know, maybe that's something that you can think as well. Like, what can I do that will meet my capacity and what I'm able to deliver? And how do I price that? Now, that is not going to be something that's priced in the hundreds. Obviously, if I'm only able to work with a handful of clients at once, that will be in the thousands. But that's what makes sense for that. And that's why you've really got to think, where does this fit into my business? What role does it have? and what am I going to be able to deliver personally? If you don't feel that you're going to be able to show up for people in the way that you want, it's okay. You don't have to do a membership. Memberships can be awesome, but you know, there are some trade-offs as well. Maybe it's something where you're like, all right, I will do a membership when I get to this point in my business, because at this point in my business, I can hire someone to help me run it, to take some of the things off my plate that are a little bit draining, so I can just focus on the members. And you know, that is definitely something that you can consider as well. And it could be something to consider if you do a founding members launch and you invite people in, and you can set the number of members for you to go ahead and actually create it at all at a point that is going to allow you to have help. So maybe it's you work out with your pricing that, hey, if I got 20 people to join my membership, I would be able to afford 5 hours a week of VA support, and that will enable me to run it. If I don't get 20 members, then I'm not going to be able to run it. So I'm actually not going to go ahead, because even though you do a founding members launch, it doesn't mean that you need to actually, you know, go and create the membership. You could refund the people that have paid, and you could just say, hey, look, you know, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate your support, but I've decided not to go ahead with this, so I've given you a full refund. No shame in that whatsoever. It's the idea and the concept. Like, founding members launches are like a Kickstarter. You need to see if there is enough interest, enough people out there to do the thing that you want. So definitely something to consider with that as well. This is already 45 minutes. It's a little long. So I appreciate you if you've stuck around all this time, and I hope it has been really, really helpful and worth your while. I'm going to be diving deep into part two of this tomorrow, where I'm actually going to go through how to set a membership up on Kajabi and some of the different options that you can think of, whether you are delivering templates, whether it is a course based membership and you are delivering like ongoing workshops or coaching, whether there's community that is a part of it, different pricing options, all the things. It's going to be very awesome. It'll be a click-by-click tutorial and you will be able to follow along. So make sure to go to theunicornadvisory.com/this if you want to get a reminder before I start that session. And you will be able to access it on the replay as well. Hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you tomorrow for another episode of This Is What I Do If.